Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Challenge Bloodlines Wrap-Up Podcast for the season preview. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Al Escher. Allie, how are you?
Wait, crap, I prepared for the wrong show. You're telling me this is the challenge?
I am. Are you the one is over. Breaking news.
All right, give me a couple hours. Let's pause it. Entertain the listeners for an hour, and I'll be right back.
Okay, I'm going to go read the dictionary.
Just kidding. I am fully prepped and ready to go. One thing I do have to say is I am in less than ideal podcasting conditions for a change. I currently am in the unfinished basement of my mom's house where my grandma, my brother, and my mom are all upstairs post-Thanksgiving things. And I am using my bat mitzvah video as a coaster. I'm next to a broken Xbox and I have a Build-A-Bear Timberland boot nearby. It's a shit show. I'm sitting in an old rocking chair that I believe was used to rock Abraham Lincoln as a baby. So bear with me if you hear any like eerie squeaking that sounds like it's out of a horror story.
Your podcast is not haunted, people, don't worry.
But you know, the show must go on. The show must go on. How was your Thanksgiving, Brian?
It was very nice. I enjoyed some time with Plainview Sue. She was very happy to see me. We had a nice dinner and it was very good. How about you?
For anyone who hasn't been listening to Are You the One because they have serious problems or, I don't know, things to do, Plainview Sue is Brian's mom and dedicated fan to the challenge.
Thanksgiving was just Are You the One. She would not be listening to this podcast.
I thought she watches the challenge, but she gave up on Are You the One and then came back.
No, she gave up on the challenge.
Oh, in my dreams.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either way, you can follow her at Plainview Zoo. I'm excited to talk about this. I've been not negative, but resistant to accepting the early start date of the challenge. But now that we're into it, now that we're recording the preview, I'm getting excited.
I'm definitely excited. I was not zoning out of Are You the One, but I was ready. I felt the challenge on the horizon. I was ready to get to it, and I'm ready for Wednesday.
All right, so let's do it. Let's talk a little bit about the format. So basically, we get no information as usual.
No, not we have like no info. All we know is that there's 14 teams of past, real world, Are You the One, Road Rules people, and their bloodline. And well, that's all we really know.
Well, what we do know is that what's been widely speculated, because there are multiple, there are teams of guy-guy teams, girl-guy teams, and girl-girl teams, that it's likely that they're not pairs or teams coming into this, similar to what Survivor did, where people think they're coming to play with their loved one and they end up playing against their loved one. And one thing in the, I guess what we can say we looked at is there's a trailer, there's a Meet the Cast special, mm-hmm. and then there are sporadic clips that I don't think I found them all that you have to like go through Twitter to find and bios that seem to be based on summaries on the Meet the Cast special right. on TV. But in one of those clips, it looks like Dario or Rafi. I'm not 100% sure. One has longer hair. I think Dario has the longer hair from Are You the One is in normal clothes and like cheering on his bloodline competing right. in elimination gear. So that was like very interesting to me. And so I did a little bit of digging into spoiler territory. Now, I'm not spoiled on the cast. We're going to do a draft tonight. And I was like pissed in advance at Brian, just at the idea that he might be spoiled.
But I'm not. I swear I'm not. I avoid spoilers at all costs.
I'm not spoiled either. I read a purely format spoiler, all format. I would not do this draft if I caught a glimpse of a spoiler. You can look at the article. It's only about the format. But I don't think I have a problem getting into the format spoiler. Do you, Brian? Are you?
No,
is that against
your code? I think we should. I mean, that's going to be explained within the first 5 minutes of the episode anyway, so it'd be good to have a good idea going in.
You would hope. I just get frustrated that we have to talk about these people without having any idea of the situation, right? So, like, we might say Jill's a great bloodline to have, and then it's like, well, depending on the format, maybe not. You don't know.
Right.
All right. So it looks like you will be on separate teams, and I don't have any understanding of how people will be picked to go in eliminations, but this is not confirmed speculation, that the elimination will be one person from the bloodline team and one person from the alumni team competing against each other. And if you lose, your bloodline also goes home.
Okay. And I assume you have to be matched up against the same sex?
That, I have no idea. I don't know how they control for you getting matched up against your bloodline. I don't know if the opposite team picks you and the worst person in the challenge automatically goes in. Mm-hmm. That I was not able to find anything on.
Okay. So,
but the big story here is that you could go home without
losing,
without losing yourself or having any even attempt at an elimination.
So really, even more so than, say, a rival or something, your partner almost matters more than in those types of seasons, because you can't even carry the load if you're not even involved.
I think it's also interesting in terms of like how strong are your connections, because are your connections going to span bloodlines, where if Tony has a relationship with someone, is Shane going to honor that commitment and not vote in his blood, like potentially like respecting mm-hmm. those relationships.
Right.
I think more than ever, people like Leroy, for example, who's partnered with his cousin Candace, is going to be dependent on those relationships, because, you know, we haven't seen Candace in a challenge, but Leroy is the one who is always able to save his hide in eliminations. And if he's not able to do that, he has to be counting more on relationships.
Right. So we have a little information, but there's still a lot that needs to be sorted out by TJ. And even more so because, as the trailer suggests, there's people that are popping in that we don't even know about why they're there. So there's a whole lot of things to discuss.
One thing I just want to get your opinion on, overall take on the format, your initial thoughts, initial reactions.
I'm for it. I was a little skeptical about the bloodline just because I didn't think what they did with the Redemption Island worked well when they took that from Survivor. So I'm like, oh, I don't know how this is going to work. But I like having the fresh blood. I think having a whole new group of 14 people on this show is much needed. I think not the cast was getting a little stale, but we needed new people, and I'm fine doing it this way. So I like that they're bringing people who have challenge connections in, so I'm happy they're doing it.
Yeah, I'm willing to say the cast was getting a little stale. I think we had both talked about the need for a fresh meat season and the need for a season with two large teams as opposed to pairs or free mm-hmm. agents. So I think most of what we asked for, Santa granted. But one thing, I'm left with a couple of mixed thoughts. I don't like that people are not going to be able to kind of determine their own fate. I don't like that it's in the hands of the bloodlines. I'm not looking forward to the elimination package of, you know, the bloodline saying I let my challenge person down, Vince saying I left Bananas down, or Jill mm-hmm. saying I let Kahuta down. I'm not looking forward to that storyline. That's going to no doubt be a through line. And I do like the two big teams. I do like that the bloodlines, and I'm guessing, will get some autonomy, that it's not just like in Fresh Meat where it's like the pair and like Kenny can run the show, you know, whatever, like the you defer to the challenge contestant, the previous right. challenger, as opposed to if you're on your own team, we're going to get to see them maybe taking some leadership roles, having some authority more so than we usually would see on a team of two. So I think it's going to be promising. One thing is, it's very interesting from a strategic perspective to consider, okay, well, who can their bloodline be to take out the main challenge threat, or vice versa? Like, if right. someone's a weaker team, am I going to put the weak person in to take a hit at the stronger person? Or is there a chance, like, and I keep picking on Leroy and Candace. Who knows what Candace's challenge prowess is going to be, but, can Leroy somehow get himself thrown in to protect against, because maybe you can't compete against your own bloodline. So can he throw a challenge to want to be in the elimination rather than let his bloodline go in if he thinks he's a more formidable opponent?
Right. No, there's definitely a lot of facets that we still have to see how they play out. And we can't even determine it now, because it's all going to be based on how the rules are played out and how teams go in. We don't know how the voting works. We don't know if the losing team has any say and goes in, or maybe the winning team picks 12 people who go in. So there's a lot of things that still need to be determined that hopefully will be determined in the first episode.
We know nothing, but we do know a bit about this cast.
Right. So you want to jump right into the first pair?
We'll do it. We're going to be going by, there's a different order that's on the website. We're going to be going by the order the couples were introduced on the challenge Meet the Cast special.
Right. So the first,
if you're playing along at home.
You're right. So the first pair that was introduced was Kahuta and his cousin Jill. So
first
what
reaction, I mean, Jill's a beast, right? Like, Jill is mm-hmm. like a farmhand for her papaw. They're second cousins because they're papaws, brothers.
Papaw.
And they're just a country duo. Cajada has always been a formidable opponent. I think he's generally an underrated player because of his size.
Right.
I am nervous about these two. I think they have the chops. I don't know if they have the connections, and I don't think they could win out. I think they're kind of an easy target because they're a threat. I don't know that Nani and Kellyanne are strong enough connections to get you through this game. So I think that they could be I like them a lot, and I don't know that they're going to go far.
They're the type of team that I kind of disagree with in terms of their connections. I do think having Nani and Kellyanne is a good connection, which is interesting because normally you would think if you have two X's on a season, that's probably not going to end well. But because Cajada is so likable, Nani and Kellyanne both still love him, which is kind of a weird thing to think about in the challenge world. But I do think he has that air of everyone liking him and no one wanting to target him early. But they also have a bit of a limitation where in a big physical competition, Cajada is still at a detriment up against, let's say, one up against Vince or even like a Corey or a Dyer just because of his size. So if he can get to the end, he is someone that they can win a final. I just don't see them getting to a final.
Well, I don't know. Where is it? Where does it say in the, was it in the video that they said Cajada is going to play too hard, too fast? Or is that in his bio? There was something like that, that he'll work. Mm. Why did I write that down? I forget. But I basically, the impression, I was like, this is not the Cajada I know. That I think it was in the video because he was saying that Jill moved her wedding for this, which I don't really think is that big of a deal. I mean, she'll get married. It's all right. This is the challenge. I don't know. I think I love any season where Cajada and Kellyanne are brought back together. And I know that's not the headline here because Nani is his most recent relationship. And even if nothing materializes from that, Cajada and Kellyanne are the classic exes couple right. that I love to watch. But we don't really know what ended Nani and Cajada's relationship.
No, we don't. They kind of just, she just like showed up, or Cajada just like showed up at the next challenge and they were just broken up, right? There was no real explanation as to what happened. But I mean, I love Cajada. I love seeing him on here. I think I agree. If he goes out there trying to do too much, he has to try to be under the radar. He has to try to just be likable, be the sweet Cajada and giving people good advice and just let the rookies get tossed in, let the big guns get tossed in and let him try to slide by. He can't be a big power player.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. If you're looking at the bloodlines, you know, Jill, I think, is the strongest girl on the Bloodlines team.
She might just be the strongest girl.
A country mile. Yeah. I don't know that she beats Kara. But
yeah, I agree, but it's up. She's up there.
She's up there, 100%. And I just think that that's an easy target because I don't know. First of all, do we see Cajada even holding a grudge? Like, can we see Bananas throwing Cajada in and then them coming back in another challenge and Cajada being fine? I don't know that we feel like Cajada is going to act like a woman scorned. I think he's going to take his lumps and do his best. And if he gets, you know, challenged, if he gets beat, he's going to say, you know what, I got beat.
I agree. No, that's fair. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the revenge of Cajada next time around. So that's an interesting factor.
I'm nervous about them. I like them. I like Jill. I think they're a fun team. I don't know. Jill's obviously engaged. She's not going to lead to much drama. But they seem like solid challenge threats.
Yeah, I think they're very solid. They're like a B plus, A minus, and get them in the right spot. They can perform at an A plus or C level, depending upon the challenge.
Speaking of low drama, you ready to move on to our next set of
the dynamic duo of Nani and Nicole?
I wish I had some sort of noisemaker, but I don't. Limp bell or, you know, a gong. I don't know, something to welcome them in.
She's going to have her own welcome because Nicole could be, when we look back on this season, as one of the, like, the standout, like, holy crap, thank God now she's on the challenge people.
If Nicole creates zero use for Nani on future challenges, great. Thank you, Nicole. I think Nani might be making the biggest mistake of her life of bringing a younger, crazier version of herself into the challenge. Because once Nicole starts becoming a regular cast member, who wants to see Nani?
She is literally passing the torch in this season. This is the Nani had her run. She had a great run, like maybe a Hall of Fame type run. But now it's here comes Nicole, ready to do the same thing all over again, but maybe even crazier because she has to one up her cousin. So yeah, Nicole, this, and even saw small bits in the preview, saw her going at it, I think, with Tony or Steven. Those two, for some reason, I couldn't tell apart in a preview.
Who can say?
Yeah, she looks to be a dynamic duo. And I mean, I don't think they're going to do much in terms of the the competitiveness, because I don't know how good Nicole is going to be. But in terms of the cut to commercial with one person trying to smash a bottle over someone's head, Nicole is probably going to be up there.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure how I feel. I mean, Cara Maria said in the preview that this is like the best looking cast. I don't know how I feel in terms of their challenge prowess. I mean, we've had conversations in the past when Nani has placed in the final. Is it because she's among, she's, you know, the best, a big fish in a small pond, or does she actually have chops? And this could be a small pond for her. I'm not sure. Well, you know, once we get a look at the whole cast, I think we'll talk about ability here, who the top dogs might be. But I don't know. One thing she says that she's not going to try to not hook up, because like, it's not hard for her to not hook up, but she's more focused on the game than ever, which I feel like she was pretty focused on the game in X's. But it says in her bio that Nani finds herself surrounded by old flames with questionable intentions. Now, I can't imagine Kahuna having questionable intentions.
And is Bananas the questionable? Because who else did she hook up with on this cast?
They showed a couple people. One that I forgot about,
actually.
Well,
she hooked up with Johnny, but Johnny's not on this cast.
Oh, right. That's who they showed. Right, right.
And then that's it.
I don't know if this is just fluff here or if this is substantial. I mean, look, when we did the Are You the One preview, those bios rang true when we watched the show. So I'm not sure. Can you imagine Kahuna using her, you know, preying on her feelings to get
that
ahead? I don't see that either, but maybe it's a new Kahuna.
It could be. Kahuna could be playing a win, and that's what he'd be doing, using Nani and Kellyanne as stepping stools, but we'll see. I don't see it, but I have very high hopes for Nicole. I think she's going to be a big-time firecracker and will be a leading contender of the previously on highlights.
Yeah, I'm excited for them. I think Nani has the social capital here to get them through. I think they're not the worst. You know, they don't seem to me to be the physically weakest. She's got the experience. She's, you know, I don't think they're my winners here, but they're not my first out.
Right. I mean, look, I mean, if you put Nani up against any of the girls other than really like Kara, she could beat any of them in a certain type of thing. So yeah, they're definitely not walkovers or pushovers, I guess would be the phrase.
And I think Nani gets fueled, right? So if Nani's hungry, like, she'll come for it. But overall, I mean, I'm sick of Nani on the challenge. I'm ready for her to take like two seasons off and come back, or just never come back if Nicole can bring the old school Nani drama.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be interesting I do know the only semi spoiler I know is who comes back from this cast to the next one. Should I reveal that at all?
Whoa, promise it. No, that's on Wikipedia. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Because Nicole is someone who comes back for the season that is filming now. So that's
rumored to come back. Allegedly comes back.
So that does offer at least promising hopes that she's going to make a lasting impact. I don't know what that means. It doesn't mean she goes far. It just means she's going to do something crazy and create a rival.
Or, I mean, you look at the people from Are You the One that they're bringing back. Like, I don't even know that they necessarily even need to do something crazy to fit the format that they want.
Sure.
But yeah, I have high hopes for her. Is Nani rumored to be on the next season, though, too?
Actually, I don't know. I'm not 100%. Probably not.
More on that later.
All right. Next up.
I'm ready to move on to Tony and Shane because I feel like we know Shane.
Wait. Did you not remember that from Real World?
Oh, I thought it was because someone's clearly doing dishes behind you.
Wait, Tony.
I blocked out everything from the season of The Real World. It sucked. But I did not block out meeting Shane. You know, I actually did like the episodes of The Real World episodes where we got to see Shane and Tony's brotherly love.
I think Tony could actually do... he'd be a big time challenge person just because of his weird like mindset with girls, of him always having someone and then moving on so quickly, and him being pretty attractive that girls do seem to flock to him.
How attracted to Tony would you say you are?
I'm just gonna move on right now, but I think he could be a lasting challenge person, and not maybe for his physical prowess, but for his entertainment prowess.
Although I don't know that he's a physical slouch. I really like Shane. I think Shane's going to be a great social player. I think Shane came on, if I'm remembering correctly, which most of you know I'm probably not. Shane came on the scene and form bonds, correct? In the real world skeletons?
Didn't he almost hook up with one of the other people's brothers?
Yeah. He did, I think.
He did, right?
Regardless, I just think Shane is a social butterfly. I think Shane's going to be a nice yin to Tony's yang. I think they have a really close relationship, which, as we're seeing on the preview, can yield fireworks. I mean, that's the reality of siblings. But yeah, for anyone who didn't watch The Real World Skeletons, Tony was almost an unbelievable womanizer. Like, he would have like a full out relationship, like I love you, with someone, and then start dating someone else. And it would just kind of be like, my bad, like, she's beautiful. It's just one thing I want to get into here, and I'm excited for this pair. I actually think, yeah, Tony athletically and Shane can both reoccur, can both be strong assets to the challenge. Can we talk about where his relationship with Madison stands at this stage when this was filming in June or July of 2015? When it was filmed?
They were together. I'm trying to remember when the tweet was that they broke up, but I think it was before that.
Because, well, Christina is saying if you didn't have a girlfriend. So was he dating someone else?
Ooh. Or maybe he just wasn't known that they broke up. I don't remember when they, like, quote unquote, officially broke up.
I'm willing to say that Tony showed up on the challenge with a pregnant girlfriend back at home. And that is unbelievable what we're seeing in these clips, that he is, like, still doing his shit ways. I cannot wait to rant about this shit. I cannot wait.
And that's what makes him like an underrated addition to this cast. Tony seems like a waste, but no, he is like delusional enough with his relationships that I think he's gonna be very good for this show.
Regardless, let's just say they're not together. You have a pregnant, so he was dating Madison from The Real World Skeletons. He impregnated her. They're no longer together. She's still pregnant. Okay. Or was it maybe? I think she's still pregnant. I think she's still pregnant. Okay, let's just say they broke up. We've seen couples fight over just how disrespectful it is, even broken up, to hook up with someone on the show. Wasn't that like Johnny and Avery's whole thing? So we've seen people go at it just on a respect level. If your pregnant girlfriend, who also is in this family of shows, is watching you, even if you don't hook up with Christina, right? Even just the idea that you would flirt with her while your pregnant ex is at home watching this is disgusting. My question is, why is he even on the show? Like, maybe he wants to say he wants to put some money in an account for his baby's college fund, blah, blah, blah.
There's no way that's the reason.
Keep your hands to yourself, bro. Keep your hands. I wrote down in all caps, OMG, is he trying to get with someone on the show with his Prego GF back home? Cannot wait.
Yeah.
This might be why they broke up.
I mean, the relationship is definitely broken up because of people's actions on the challenge before, so it would not be the first time.
Can I ask you a question? When we see Tony, aka T Reigns, aka not T Boogie, say to Christina, "Oh, you're like the top three prettiest girl here," is that a compliment? Like, just lie. Just be like, "You're the prettiest girl here." Why do you have to put her in the top three, like, already in a competition? It seems to work. But why not just go all in?
That's Tony's game. He wants to keep them wanting more. He's like, "Oh, I'm in the top three, but where am I? Am I one, or am I two? Do I have two people to pass? Am I third? Like, where am I?" That's Tony's work.
My other thing is, like, Christina, then we see, jumping ahead, going around asking people who are your top three girls here. I cannot wait to see on the show if Tony asked her that first and that then sparked her going to every other guy Christina asked him and then he was like, "Well, you're top three.
I just want to see a clip of, like, Christina asking, like, Leroy, "Who's in your top three?" And then Leroy giving him a look like, "What the hell are you talking about? Get away from me."
Yeah, so I have high. I think they bring the nice, like we talked, the ratio of challenge competitors to drama ratio, and I think I have high hopes for these two boys.
Two people that I do not have high hopes for are Gianna and Brianna.
Whoa! How quickly you forget the end of the last season.
I mean, that was mainly Jay that I was the comic relief of that portion, but Jenna, I mean, why is she back?
Okay, no, what I meant by that is, first of all, thank God Jay isn't back.
Oh, thank God.
Thank God. If I never see Jay again on my screen, it'll be too soon.
He was quite salty about not being on, too.
Like, cry me a river.
Yeah, don't quit.
But all right, so Jenna, I thought we kind of came around on Jenna, and within reason. I mean, I thought we ended up giving her some credit. I think towards the end of the last season, she showed some challenge prowess. She showed some ability to keep going in the final. And while it's still up for debate whether or not she would have finished the final if Jay was willing to finish.
She would not have.
Why are you saying that?
Because I don't think she would have.
Right, but we don't know. No. So it's up for debate.
I'm saying where I land on the debate. I'm saying she would not have.
A debate on another podcast. Don't make me go back and listen and play for these people. Our eulogy on Jenna, I think, was overall positive. While she's not Cara Maria, she's no Laurel, she's not even in the conversation, obviously. I don't think she's bottom of the barrel like I once thought.
All right, I'll give her not bottom of the barrel. But personality-wise, she's pretty bottom of the barrel.
Now, I did write, "I'm so sick of Jenna" in my writing. I do want to remind myself that I do think that she had some chops, you know, like half a chop, like a lamb chop that you cut off just the one chop. Like, okay. She didn't have a whole rack. You know, that's a rack, but whatever. Okay. So, Brianna, I think these two are just kind of like being thrown to the wolves here. Do I think that they have any ability to like win out if they get put in? Absolutely not. Do I think that there's enough social capital between them, especially with Jenna dating Zach still? Yeah, probably. I don't think that she's going to be the first out. I think she can hide behind some of the other rookies. I think she built maybe a little bit of respect in terms of Jay blowing up her game completely. I don't know. I think the drama between them is going to be amazing. I can't wait for the family drama.
That's what I'm excited. They seem to have maybe this like one of the top dramas amongst themselves that seems like to be boiling out in terms of, is either Brianna thinks she's better than Jenna or her family is like better than her?
She's drunk. I don't think she actually thinks anything she's saying.
I'm taking it at face value. She thinks she's better than Jenna and I'm standing by that. So I'm waiting for that to come out because that's going to be great. Because they're not going to provide much drama, I think, else that.
I'm curious to know why, like, to think, do you think that, okay, so Jenna obviously got a lot of protection because of Zach last season. Without her meat shield, do you think that the social relationships will carry her? Or do you think, you know, Zach's close dudes will say, screw it, he's not here, I'll worry about that later?
So who exactly are Zach's close dudes?
I think we struggled to identify that last season. Zach kind of plays the field. I don't know. Him and Bananas may have a torrid history.
I think partially she was saved last year because of Zach, but she was also saved because her and Jay were just such a bad team that they just wanted to be brought to the end. But so, I mean, that could happen again this time if she gets past like the rookie wave and then all of a sudden we're in episode like 7 or 8 and they're still chugging along.
Well, now we're not sure if the team votes one of their own in or if the opposite team votes someone in. Because then if you're voting your own in, no, she'll be bounced quickly. And that goes back to, like, we have no idea how the voting works.
That's a factor.
And we don't know what we're seeing off screen. So, like, does Leroy have a close relationship with Zach? We don't know. Does Johnny? We don't know. Like, we just don't know. But we do see Zach make a cameo appearance here.
Yes.
What's going on with that?
I am not sure. All I could do is speculate, and even that would just be a wild guess. But I really don't know.
Get wild, Brian.
My only guess is because we also see CT with DM's sister showing up at some point, and I don't know what they're doing there. So the only thing I could think of is for maybe in eliminations, they just bring in all different bloodlines to compete against people to help them eliminate or something like that. I don't know.
Well, that's what I don't know. Is it like, right? Like Zach had a really close relationship with Knight. Are they going to pay tribute to both DM and Knight? And is Zach there to pay tribute to Knight? But the same token, like he's in bed with Jenna. He's not competing. So I don't know if they get to go back to the house after a competition.
Right.
I don't know if Zach's just like, I broke in here and flew to wherever this is because I love you. And then, like, we don't know. There's no explanation for why he would be in a bunk bed with Jenna.
No, that's one of the things we're going to have to wait to see. I'm sure it's going to be the reason Camilla goes, this changes everything. So we'll have to see what happens.
One thing that's amazing is, so the issue, the beef between Brianna and Jenna that we see, is she's saying like, oh, she's smarter than her. I want to go home to my real family that cares about me. And I was cracking up because like everyone's saying they stole this from Survivor 100%. But this is the difference between CBS and MTV, right? Like there's voting out your mom and then there's the challenge version of getting wasted and saying that we're not even family. Like, right. Cannot wait.
It's that's why the challenge is great, because it has tokens of Survivor that are good. That
token chains of Survivor.
But then it also has the hotness and drunkenness of 20-year-olds that make it fantastic. So that's the good counterbalance of Survivor and the challenge.
All right. Are you ready for me to be quiet for like 30 minutes while you just like worship Bananas?
Okay. Next up, Bananas and his cousin Vince. Top notch. I mean, they have to be the favorites to win. I mean, Bananas, 5-time champ, looking to restore the crown. I mean, why wouldn't they be favorites? And he just happens to have an NFL player in his family that he could bring along. So,
an NFL bench warmer. I'm sorry. It's like his story is like he did 3 years of playing D1 college ball at Penn State, which I'd just like to announce that Northwestern beat Penn State this season. So, you know, whatever. But then he like what he signed as a free agent to the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. And shockingly, that didn't work out. I know. I can't believe it either, Vince. Like, that's a shocker. Everyone who signs as a free agent without graduating college, like, gets like a real head start in their life.
But look, I mean, he made the NFL. So, I mean, he looks like he made the NFL, too. So that's a good pair to have.
Here's a problem I have with in the bio, it says that the taste of defeat still in his mouth from his devastating downfall in Battle of the Exes 2. Like, was it that devastating? He got to just like chill out and play like carnival games to stay in the game, and then he got to come back. Like, I'm not that devastated.
I mean, he was devastated with, I guess, with the Sarah blinds. That was the devastation.
Boo hoo. You got outplayed, and I'm still so sick of hearing about that.
I mean, I am too. I'm not, we don't need to rehash that. But I mean, Bananas, they have to be a top favorite going in just based on their physical size. Now, it's going to be interesting to see when it's not just like a brouhaha physical battle, because my guess is Vince is not exactly the smartest guy in the room. And we'll have to see how Bananas can carry them in that.
What
in
makes
that
you
regard.
Say that, Brian?
I'm just my guess of people go to the NFL after 2 years and fail, flame out, and then have a business that doesn't do anything. They usually probably are not the smartest people.
Say more about that, Brian. Make more friends. His business in Florida. What? I don't know anything about that. But
the only thing I Googled was that I did find the name of it. It is BGB Enterprises, and it's no longer active. So he's got that going for him.
One thing I do really like is I'm glad that Bananas, like we talked last year when Nani was his partner, we're like, what does Bananas just get to say he undercover hooked up with someone who's pretty strong so that he can get the best chance? And here I like that we don't just have like a malleable bloodline for him to control. Like Vince is not saying like, oh, I so look up to Johnny and like I'm gonna do whatever he says because he knows how to win. Like, I do think that Vince is gonna bring his own stuff to the table. He's coming back next season, right?
Yes, he is one of the other people coming back.
I think he's gonna hold his own against Johnny. I think he's gonna be a nice foil. I mean, I don't think he's gonna work against him, but I do think that he's got something to add himself, which I like. I'm glad that, I mean, like Mitch and Corey, for example, we'll get to them. Like, Mitch is just like, I worship Corey. I'll do whatever Corey says. I like that Bananas doesn't have someone he can blindly control.
And that could be a bad thing for their team, that Vince may want to make his own mark.
I like that. That's no, I agree with you. I mean, look, like they're, when I'm talking about do they have the social capital, I'm talking about do they have the relationship with Johnny, you know, like right. That's, I mean, it all comes back to that. I think they're coming in definitely a clear favorite, not my favorite to win. They're not my winner pick, but
they're actually
up there.
Not mine either, so
they're in a top three. You don't have a choice. You have to pick them or you have to renounce your care of Johnny.
But all right. Next up.
Another. I'm just going to make sure I don't have anything else. And I don't. Okay. Well, with the segue, I actually, you know, I love a good segue. And there were great segues going on in this Meet the Cast because they would show a bit of drama and then introduce the next
team.
So
I did enjoy that.
We see Dario and Rafi step into Bananas and Vince, which I like to see.
it's fun to see, but it's probably not going to end well because it usually doesn't end well. And that's, I think, could be their downfall.
I mean, they were also prominently featured in an elimination. So we know they're not walking away from this totally unscathed.
Yeah. The move we always say for rookies is you don't go in trying to chop off the head of the dragon. You go in there, you try to stay under the radar for a little bit and then look to make your move as the season goes on. You don't walk in being like, Bananas, I'm going for you, or Wes, I'm going for you, or CC, I'm going for you. It doesn't work.
Or so, we talk about this with Survivor, right? Like, what is quote unquote working? Are you playing to win? Are you playing to come back? And so are you going to take the Jordan route and take your Lumps, go up against, be the foil for Bananas? We talked about, is this the Jordan era of the challenge? And then win and retire. Like, is this the Dario and Raffi era of the challenge?
I feel like I could say with confidence it is not.
For staying power, I think it's not bad. If you're going to get thrown in anyway, they're a target, right? They're pretty, look like pretty muscular newbies from Are You the One, which is not the main show here. I don't know. If you're going to get tossed out quickly anyway, better to get tossed out going for Johnny than it is to get tossed out like Haley and Thomas and be forgettable. Now, shockingly, that worked for Thomas. Shockingly, and we'll get to that. But if you want to, you know, help your chances of getting brought back, going for Bananas isn't that bad of a way to start.
It definitely makes a name for yourself. It just might make a short name for yourself. So we'll see how that goes for Dario and Rafi. But I don't really have much else on that other than them being too cocky and might come back to bite them.
Well, I have a couple things here. So like, sure. Just like in Survivor, I feel like there are layers to the bloodlines, right? There's, you know, for me, if I was here with my cousin, I don't know, you know, I love my cousins, but it's not like my twin brother, right? Like there's definitely, if you watch Twinning this year on VH1, that's a real tight relationship, even more so than stepsisters or regular sisters or, you know, like something about your twin. I think it's interesting that we have two sets of twins here.
We do.
I wish we had female twins too, but I just think that it's very interesting to see the layers of your cousin who, like Anissa and Rihanna, are... They said there's a huge age gap there and they're cousins who didn't grow up together at all. And then there's Dario and Raffi who are twin brothers, right? So it's like, there are layers. There's one thing to voting out your mom, but I don't think on Survivor you'd ever see a mom vote out their kid or a twin brother vote their other brother out. So I think that may be, I mean, Dario says in the video, if you're getting on his case, you're getting on my case. Like, I think there may be a tighter bond there between twins than, let's say, cousins 10 years apart.
Yeah, and even looking in terms of the game factor, even just living in the house factor, where if you're that close to someone, if they're getting into a fight with someone, you might not be inclined to step in. You're like, all right, yeah, we're close, but we're not like that close. But for twins, yeah, it might be something different. So that's interesting to see how that plays out.
Exactly. A couple more things on them. In the bio, I want to start speculating on who these relationships are going to be with. So when it says, when an unpredictable challenge vet swoons for Dario, he sees an opportunity to woo his way to a win. Who do we think this unpredictable challenge vet is?
Unpredictable seems like Kellyanne. She's pretty unpredictable.
Did we see? We saw clips of Kellyanne with someone. Was that Dario?
I think it was. I think so.
Yeah, I wrote. It says Dario. Okay. No, I mean my notes say Dario later. Okay. So that, I mean, that's interesting. And she's a hot commodity, right? A couple of people are saying Kellyanne's. Absolutely. And I don't know that Kellyanne again is the person to go to for the leverage if you're using her for leverage. Last question I have on these two. Are you surprised that there's no Are You the One continuity from last season of the challenge?
What do you mean?
Like, they're not bringing back the same people. So we saw John Jacob, Simone, Brittany, and Adam. And not one of them are back with a bloodline. And to me, in my opinion, if you want to build, I'm not upset by any means. But if you want to start building Are You the One as a key part of this show, my thought is you'd bring back somebody from the last season.
To give them a little more oomph.
Who's not a rookie, who has played before, to show that they're a real part of the show.
It's a little surprising. I guess it would be bringing back either Adam or Brittany since they made more of the impact. So, yeah, I would have been fine with one of them coming back. I thought they did enough their first season and show that they could stick and that they provided entertainment. And it seemed like they formed some bonds. So, I mean, maybe they both turned it down. I mean, that's a possibility.
Brittany, first of all, that's definitely not a possibility. Brittany was one of the people who tweeted, like, oh, I wasn't involved because, like, we didn't fit the theme and blah, blah, blah. But, like, do you not have any relative between 20 and 30 who has more personality than Christina's bloodline? You know, like is there, there's really no one that's like looks decent in a bikini that you could show right. up with?
I mean, yeah, no, that's a good point that if you want to start giving them a chance, they can't just keep being rookies over and over again. Some people need to come back second or third time. So yeah, I would have been fine with them coming back.
And it's still just two people, right? So, like, you're telling me you can't cut Corey and Mitch for Adam and his bloodline and have three pairs from Ari the One? You know, like, I don't know. I'm not in casting.
No, it's definitely a fair point.
All right, moving on to the unpredictable lady of the hour, Kellyanne and her cousin Anthony.
I'm so excited for Kellyanne to come back. I couldn't believe this. She has not been on since Ruins, that must be like 10 years ago. It feels like so many things have happened in the Challenge universe between her being on and now. So I'm so excited for Kellyanne to be back. She is someone who will not back down to anything that happens, and she will step into any fight that happens. And that's a great combo.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy because I can't believe it's been this long since we've seen Kellyanne. I have a short attention span and I remember her West drama. I remember her Kahuta drama. I remember her drunk. I remember, you know, like Kellyanne is a staple, and considering she hasn't been back since Ruins, like, that's shocking to me. I didn't even look it up because I thought all these people were pretty recent. Like, right. I didn't even think about it. One thing I thought was ridiculous is in the bio they used that Kellyanne has a kamikaze attitude. I feel like this writer used this a little too liberally. Like, is she going to blow up her own game? Like, but what do you make of her cousin Anthony?
He seems like a good partner for her because Kellyanne is definitely leans very high on like the hot crazy scale. She's definitely up on the crazy part. So it seems like Anthony brings her back down to normalness. And even that's what she said in the Meet the Cast, that he helps kind of ration her out. And I mean, I don't know if you know this, but he does Spartan races. Do you know that?
I love Anthony. I feel like I'm so happy for this theme just because he would have never gotten cast on this show without being Kellyanne's cousin. I don't think this is the type of guy they bring to the real world. This isn't the type of guy they bring to Fresh Meat. Maybe this is a guy they would have brought to Road Rules, but I'd even doubt that. So I mean, he's a carpenter. He does Spartan races, which, yeah, I don't know that we needed to see the montage of that, but I do think that that's going to help him in the challenge. That's some evidence there of physical ability. And I just got great vibes from him, seeing him talking. Like, I really, really like him. I love when Kellyanne's like kind of teasing him about the girls in the house, and he says he likes Christina. And then Kellyanne, just the greatest segue, I think, of the whole episode, saying that he would never trust her boyfriend with her. And that brings them on.
Yeah. No, I think they're great. I'm all in on the Kellyanne Anthony combo.
I don't think, well, real quick, I don't know that Dario is the best tree for Kellyanne to be barking up.
No, probably not.
I think
not.
If we're seeing that Dario is going to go toe-to-toe with Bananas and probably get burned, then does Kellyanne really want to hitch her wheels to that wagon? What is it, hitch her wagon to that? Hitch whatever to his whatever. I don't think she wants to be hitching anything with him.
I mean, this was so long ago, but Kellyanne and Bananas definitely do not, at least from their past days, did not get along. So we'll have to see if that spills over into here. But who knows?
I don't see
so
her, which also goes back to Kahuta's relationships, right? Like, I don't see Kellyanne having the social relationships to advance here. And mm-hmm. And if Kahuta's strongest tie is Kellyanne, I mean, Nani's a saving grace, assuming Nani and Bananas still have a good relationship and Bananas right. becomes a powerhouse. We don't even know. But yeah. I don't know that Dario is Kellyanne's best option here for strategy. No, he's very cute, but strategically, I think it's a miss.
And someone else that I think will just be a miss, probably completely, unfortunately, are Christina and Emily.
A miss in what context?
Basically, almost everything.
I I truly believe that we may be watching Christina's first and only episode in the clips. I believe it's very possible that her, basically in the preview, Christina's from Are You the One season two. You may recall her from her relationship with Brandon and a brief affair with Moosty.
I forgot they were together. Moosty.
They weren't.
Yeah, that one date. Sort of, I think.
But Christina is like going around interviewing the guys, basically saying like, she's like a politician. Like, can I count on your vote? Like, can right. I count on your vote for top three yeah, hottest girl
that's
here?
The thing, that- it's not even count on your vote to keep me out of elimination. It's count on your vote to make them top three of cutest girl.
It's seriously misguided. I think even in her video, all she is talking about herself. Like, we see other people talking about their bloodline. Like, she's not introducing Emily at all, to the point where the producer has to be like, so Emily, I hear you have a crush on bananas. Like, right. Christina, it's just all about her. Is she the top three prettiest girl here? Meanwhile, she's in competition by asking that with her stepsister. But I don't know. I think Christina is going to totally flame out here in episode one.
Yeah. And it seemed like, this is unconfirmed, but according to on Twitter, Lilac 15, they weren't even supposed to be on the season. That is supposed to be Marie and her sister. I don't know if that's true.
Who?
But that's Marie from St. Thomas.
Oh yeah, I like her. That would have been better.
That would have been a lot. That would have been a lot better. I think they would have provided a lot more interesting circumstances. But unfortunately, Marie chose not to do it. So that's unfortunate.
But then we're only getting one person from Are You the One. I don't even know if I buy that.
I don't know. That's what was tweeted to us. So
I want more information on that, because I don't see them only casting one person from Are You the One on this show. Do you? I mean, I'm asking.
I would lean no, but I mean, maybe someone else wasn't supposed to be there. Also, there was like a little domino effect that they needed like a two girl pair, and then they went like that way. I don't know. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the first team gone. And I liked Christina a lot on Are You the One. I think she's coming in like it's Are You the One and not like it's the challenge.
Yep, she's not in the challenge mode. She's focused too much on finding a perfect match and not on reaching a final. So I think this will be a quick exit for the Christina and Emily pair.
Which I like, though. I like people coming in who don't give a shit about the challenge. Like, I think that's funny, and they're more willing to drink more because they're not worried about being an athlete.
We need some lambs to be led to the slaughter, so that's fine.
Well, the only thing, though, is, and you're right, actually, now that I think about it, in the video, they did say they didn't do much training because they weren't prepared, so that would actually support that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, one thing is interesting is usually like the flirt gets cut by other people, but it seems like the guys she's flirting with are rubbed the wrong way by it. Did you get that impression? Like, I feel like Thomas was like, get off me. I have a girlfriend. Like, Steven is my twin. You can go with him.
No, I thought I didn't catch that. I thought he was like, if you want to go hook up my brother, that's fine.
Yeah. No, but Thomas was clearly like, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm not going to tell you you're in my top three. Like, relax. But Christina definitely had a boyfriend not too long ago. And I don't know if this was after filming. But do you remember I said she went to like Burning Man with her boyfriend?
Right. Who can keep track of time frames?
I don't know if people take breaks, right, to be able to be on the challenge and hook up with people. But
I mean, hint to anyone who eventually goes on a reality show. If you're with someone, take a break when you're going on the show. Because it's not going to last.
But yeah, I think we'll see. They may be like the top. May be the top airtime getter of the first episode and then the first to leave. Yeah.
If they last past episode three, it'll be a shocker. So next up, Leroy and Candace.
The use of fan favorite Leroy in the MTV bio here is the first time in recent reality TV show history that fan favorite has been used correctly.
I mean, who doesn't like Leroy? He's America's favorite trash man.
I think he's a former trash man.
Former. I hope he's still doing it.
I love Leroy. I think he's got a very, very different partner than when we last saw him with Naya. Because Candace actually cares about Leroy.
I thought, to me, it's almost interesting. I think he kind of has this partner is very similar to what he had this first time on when he had Mike as his partner. I think that this could be a very similar type dynamic of Candace providing like the brains and the smarts, with Leroy providing the muscle.
I'm worried about this pair, and I think it showed when I kept using them as an example of a pair that I'm worried about from the format.
I mean, the thing with Leroy is, no matter how good he is, no matter how well-liked he is, unless he spent more time on YouTube learning how to swim, he has a ceiling in the challenges. The final almost always has some part of a swimming component, and if you can't do that, you're going to lose.
Forget the final. I'm really worried about them getting to the final. This is a pair where I'm really worried if Leroy's life is in the game is on Candace. And she, it seems to be very, I wasn't able to find these people's ages, and I'm really upset because I did look hard. If Candace is as young as they've been implying, she seems to just be relying on Leroy here. And if she's in an individual elimination as speculated against a Jill, an Anissa, Camilla, Carmaria. Come on. If, like, let's just say for whatever reason, Carmaria has to be in the elimination because of how the challenge goes, she's going to pick, you know, like there's quite a few bloodlines to pick here for easy outs, but Candace is certainly in that conversation.
Absolutely. No, that's definitely fair. We'll have to see if, I mean, Leroy's been kind of, I mean, he's held himself back, but he hasn't had the best of luck with partners in a lot of these things. So this might be another circumstance where he's a little hindered.
Oh, see, I felt like Leroy's had luck on his side because of what you were saying with Mike and then how he got Teresa. He replaced Naya with Teresa, like right at the money spot. But yeah, this may be his luck running out. But who knows? I mean, he's going to be able to control her in a way that he wasn't able to with Naya. I think Candace is going to have better social relationships than Naya. Is going to look to Leroy for advice and for strategy. Although he got completely manipulated by Wes, I think Leroy's easily manipulated.
Yeah, he is.
Or he might be coming into this scarred from that, right? He may have seen himself look like an idiot and feel like, forget it, I'm not trusting anyone. I love his toast to saying, never saying mine or Candace's name. He's already at the anyone but me, Sandra Diaz-Twine strategy.
And that's got to be the mode for him. I mean, him and Bananas are close, so he's got that backbone if he needs to. But I mean, I don't know how, if Bananas would definitely stick to it, but he's got that, at least for the beginning portion. So he's got to come into his own and be a bit of a player as it goes on.
And I want to say that I feel like Bananas feels like he could beat Leroy in a final. Like, I don't know that. I'm sorry. In the team challenge, he's going to want Leroy on his side and he's going to want Candace weakening the other side. That's what I'm confused is, you can't win together unless it's going to split into bloodlines for the final, which is why you get eliminated together.
That's what I'm thinking it will. But
I think that makes the most sense, in which case I think Bananas is fine leaving Leroy with him to the end.
Absolutely.
Because I actually went back to my notes from the last finale because Jordan and Sarah beat them by what I thought was a lot, but I wanted to see. And yeah, Jordan and Sarah totally had the lead the whole time. And they made it seem clear, but seem close, but I don't really think it was that close.
They're a type of team where in the right spot, they're like the best team, but in the wrong spot, they could be easily beat.
Yeah, I think the reality is at these elimination situations, Leroy is not someone you want to face.
No.
But in the long form challenge with the swimming component, with an endurance component, with a teammate component, that's fine. Yep. I'll take Leroy.
Agree.
I love how he's like, don't ask me to spell my name under pressure. Like, Leroy, we already got hilarious bits from the 30 seconds he had.
He's one of those that he doesn't need to worry about being like, he coming out doing these forever, and I think everyone will like him because I don't know what's not to like about Leroy.
Speaking of repeat contestants on the show coming out forever.
Welcome back, Camilla.
Ready to move on? Yeah. Camilla and Larissa, sister.
Now, I think Camilla, she wasn't on last season, I believe. So we have a little bit of a break.
Well, because Bananas is only her only ex, right?
Right. So, I mean,
he was taken.
I mean, Camilla's had maybe you can argue like a Mount Rushmore moment in challenge history. That just shows how high she can reach in her level of craziness. So she's got that.
I don't know that wasn't her most recent return, was it?
No, that might have been like her first or second season.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that with Nani too. Like, the more they age, you know, we're reaching back and further back for those moments. Yeah. Like, yeah. Even with CT,
too old for this shit.
Yeah, like the older CT gets, the less likely we're going to see him punch Adam in the face, right. Like, and tell someone he's going to eat their brains.
And that's exactly why this something like this season is needed. So that way we have like their personalities, but now put in someone who's like 8 or 9 years younger and ready to make a name for themselves, which is why I'm very optimistic about this season.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings on Larissa. I think overall when she's I want to see a return to Camilla 1.0. Like, usually they would say, like, the sibling is 2.0. No. Camilla now is Camilla 2.0. I want Larissa to be Camilla 1.0.
I don't think... See, as optimistic I am about, like, the season bringing in new people, I don't see Larissa as a Camilla. She seems...
I don't either.
She seems much calmer. She seems more reasonable. She seems like someone who sees Camilla flipping over tables and zombie walking in the water and being like, Camilla, don't do that stuff. I'm not doing that stuff. Calm down. I don't see her being someone who's like overtaking Camilla like Nicole can overtake Nani.
This one, the whole thing with Bloodlines and the reason that it's such a struggle to cast Survivor Blood versus Water, and I imagine they have the same struggle here, is it's easy to cast a season out of everyone in America. It's difficult to cast a season of somebody who's related to someone you already like, right? Like, there's a reason that in a sibling relationship, one is probably louder and crazier and one takes more of a backseat. Like, it's hard to find two people in one family who would make amazing reality television. And, you know, that's why Rachel maybe isn't as great on Survivor as Tyson, her husband. You know, like, you're opposites attract, right? Or families breed differences. So I don't know that this is a great. It's not as good as Fresh Meat in terms of stacking the deck with more people. But Larissa, the one thing about Larissa and Camilla's relationship is, like, this is blood. Because, like, they're talking about Camilla paid for half of her college, they're best friends. Like, I really do feel like Camilla's, like, a mother to her, that they're tighter than tight. And so we do get one scene of Larissa being like, you know, your grudge is with my sister and now my grudge is with you. She's more rational about it. She's not throwing chairs in the pool. But I do think that their bond is tighter than most bonds out here, and that could force the issue of the drama.
Yes. If one of them gets into something, the other one will absolutely jump in and take the bullet or take the screaming match for them, 100%. That's what we'll say.
I want to stall and talk more about them because I don't want to move on to the next pair.
You're not, I know you're not that high on Mitch, but I'm a little high on Corey. I think Corey.
I hate Corey. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I just hate Corey. It's like seeing Devin, right? Or Leighton. Like, I'm not saying they won't be good TV. I just hate them.
Because of what he did on Real World?
I just didn't like him on the Real World. Like, I just didn't like that whole Jenny, Corey, Brian story. I didn't like his pregnant girlfriend leaving and him just being like, whatevs. Like, I didn't like anything about him, really. And there's nothing I like about Mitch because he's the one saying, I look up to Corey, I'll do whatever Corey says. So it's like, you know, Corey and Corey Jr. And I'm not that excited about it.
I was pretty high on Corey after his season. I thought he had a potential to be a really good challenge person, but I don't know. I'm a little waning on him. Maybe because I just don't really remember his season for Real World. It seems like that happened so long ago for some reason. I don't know why, but he had that kind of like athletic combo and good looks and player mentality that's like, oh, this is like perfect for the challenge. Get off Real World already. But now it's like, I don't know. He may be a little big fish, small pond in Real World. And now he's jumping into the challenge. And I'm a little worried if he's going to be able to stand out.
I mean, he's definitely got, I've said chops so many times. It's so fun to say. Like, he's got chops. I don't know that Mitch does. I don't know who Mitch is. It's like Mitch. I'm just not feeling Mitch. But I will say, so they're like teasing that Corey's going to have an Anissa romance. And I'm stoked because there's nothing better than Anissa in love on the challenge.
She's been in love. She's been on plenty of these, so she's had everything.
And so there's nothing better there than that. And they also show like Rihanna doubling up with Mitch, which I think is a mistake. You got to diversify.
Of course. Yeah, it's a horrible move.
But from Corey's perspective, I don't know that Anissa, just like Kellyanne, is the person to be romancing for leverage.
And I mean, no offense to Anissa, but I wouldn't be romancing with Anissa just for the romantic side of it either. So I don't know what's going on there.
That's anti-Semitic of you, Brian.
Is it really anti-Semitic? Is that the word?
Yeah, well, Anissa said she was Jewish on this. I almost fell over.
Well, I missed that. She said she was Jewish, really?
Yeah, there was like a small clip there. Like the challenge posted on Twitter, these like 10-second clips of them talking. And Anissa was saying like, oh, they're both neurotic because they're Jewish and they worry about everything. And oh, wow. Rihanna like had some kind of weird reaction. She's like, okay, well, like you're not neurotic. I'm neurotic. And I was like, L'chaim, Shabbat Shalom, ladies. But... So that's anti-Semitic of you, but I don't get that either between the two of them.
So while we're at it, we might as well, the next couple on the list is Anissa and Rihanna anyway, so we can combine them into two. So
beautiful. They're Jewish. That was my main. No,
it's just amazing that Anissa is still doing this. Her Real World was in 2002.
Do you have a guess? I know how old she is. Do you have a guess?
She's 34.
Oh, you know. Well, then say you know. Don't pose it.
I didn't say it was as a guess. I said she's 34.
Pose. Actually, now Maddie didn't pose it as a guess. You'd be like, oh, like, I don't know, like 30, 34.
When I know something, I come right out and say it. I don't play games.
I play games.
But
I don't know.
It's amazing. It's not, 2002 was so freaking long ago. Oh, my God.
It's not more ridiculous than the fact that Bananas is still doing this.
Oh, I think it's more ridiculous.
Bananas is 33.
Yeah, but like Bananas is at least in the physical shape to still do this. Is Anissa really in still the physical shape?
Anissa, I mean, first of all, you can't do better than Anissa and Diem on Rivals. Like, you can't make better TV than Rachel and Anissa on Exodus. Sure. Like, Anissa has had so many classic moments. And the fact that you don't have Evelyn, you don't have these women returning as much as you do the Bananas, I'm happy to see someone representing old school for the ladies.
I'd rather have no one representing it than Anissa. Like, yes, if the choice is
what's your issue with Anissa?
She just brings nothing. Like, she's had her day. She's had her moments.
Oh,
like,
she doesn't bring nothing. First of all, her hooking up with Corey does not bring nothing. And I can name, like, every time she was on, there's an iconic moment there. I don't think she brings nothing. I think either she's having these triumphant moments where she's settling down and making friends with DM, or she's having these, like, her blood spilled with relationships with Rachel. Like, I just think, or she's having blow-ups. Like, I don't think she's gonna let these girls, like, step to her.
No, but
I think she's got fire. She's willing to romance this baby, Corey. I like Anissa here. I wouldn't put Brittany in here from Are You the One instead of Anissa.
I think I would.
What is she adding? What is she
freshness,
adding that's unique?
Newness, freshness.
But then, all right, let's put Adam in place of Bananas, because we definitely know too much about Bananas.
But what he brings is still good.
In your opinion, I think what Anissa brings is still good. I don't think Bananas. I'm stoked about this season because I think that this rookie veterans thing is almost useless, because
the
majority of these people are rookies or having one season in. And Bananas is in the minority. Just like you're saying, where are Zach's friends? Where are Bananas' real friends here? Like, where?
He hasn't had friends in a couple of years.
So I like that. I like that it's not the same show where it's like, okay, let's like kiss Bananas' feet. Like, Sarah's going to throw him in. Sorry, bro.
Oh, that's great. And I love it too. That's
so
fantastic.
I don't think he's bringing anything. I think if anything, he's not bringing anything. But I think what's great about Bananas being there is that we're seeing the overthrow of Bananas. And so that's what Bananas brings, is the ability for these newbies to step to him.
That's fair.
So I like that. I don't think that has anything to do with Bananas himself. And so in my mind, Anissa brings something else. I like that Anissa's here. Okay. I wouldn't like if we get Bananas over and over again and the women just get retired. Because at 34, they're not bringing anything anymore. But Bananas is 33, is still bringing it. Like, I think that I'm happy with MTV bringing back these challenge staples as opposed to just stocking it with the Christinas.
I mean, I would definitely rather Anissa over Christina, so you got me there. I'll definitely prefer that. But the next pair on our list, I'm definitely excited is back, is Cara Maria and her cousin Jamie.
Wait, you skipped over the one thing I did pull is Anissa's challenge record, because I don't know why I felt the need to say this, but she did win an elimination and she did win a challenge in Free Agents when we last saw her. So she's not a total slouch.
No, but she's like,
I think you're biased against the ladies. If you wouldn't want to hook up with them, Brian, you don't want them on your show, but you know, all of them are on TV. None of them are real. So I'm happy to see a new one.
Cara Maria and Jamie, I am very excited about.
Yeah, just so I can say it first, these are my number one pick for winter picks, so you have to pick someone else.
That's a problem because they were my winter picks. So we
don't have a choice. I said it first. We recorded it. I also wrote on my paper number one. I think this, though, is the easiest pick in the world. I don't even think I get credit for this.
No, I mean, the fact that has there ever been a profession that makes you more prepared to enter the challenge world than working at a prison?
See, I was laughing at this because James from Big Brother this season was also a correctional officer. And if anything, it had the opposite effect because he was just like making jokes and like, you know, had no tolerance for the drama. So I'm not sure. I think they're overhyping that profession. But James was great TV, so maybe Jamie will be great TV. I think we have Cara Maria coming out for her eighth time here with no win.
Always great TVs, Cara Maria.
And she's one of the most in-shape females of the field. Of the show, 100%.
You could drop female. She's one of the most in-shape people.
No, I was going to say just in general of if we're talking about women on the challenge, including the people who are not on the season.
Oh, yeah.
Cara's at the top of that conversation. She's absolutely certainly number one here.
Definitely.
And Jamie's, they seem like the most balanced pair of athletic prowess, ability to bring drama. I mean, can't wait for Cara Maria, the stuff they've teased. Brains. I mean, Cara Maria is a smart girl. I'm sure Jamie is too. You know, like male, female. I just like everything about this pair put together.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're also, I know it could be good to have like a really, really tight bloodline, like a twin, but I like that they're close. It seems like they're close, but not like super close. So they're still able to do their own thing. Yeah, I like, they have a great yin yang amongst pretty much everything you would want in a pair. They have a good yin yang about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's better to have people who are not close. Like, that's what, I don't know if I've been giving that impression, but I agree with you. I think it's better to have a loose pair as opposed to somebody that you would like slit your throat for.
Yeah.
Because then you may not be able to take a step back and think about what's actually going on instead of just like ravaging the opponent. I also think I like that. I don't know where Cara Maria and Banana stand right now, but she would not hesitate to slit his throat. What no. Jamie's saying about him is hilarious and accurate, that he's a serial killer who doesn't kill people yet. So I think they'll be able to play that relationship, but just like Sarah, you know, snap his neck when they need to.
I was gonna say, the one thing that could be their downfall is something that's not really in the cast, but is someone that is coming, and that is Abram.
Right. So Cara Maria lives with her boyfriend they didn't say boyfriend, but their relationship is kind of fluid.
I think we could say boyfriends.
I don't know. I don't need to put labels on people, but her partner in life, who was a challenge competitor, also a legend, Abram. And we see Cara hooking up with Thomas.
Weird move.
What?
Super weird move. On like the back of the bus too, not even like in private. And then it's like, oh, let's go to the bathroom. Like, oh, okay.
Well, a lot of things happen on the back of the bus, but that a whole thing made with Jemmy. But
there's a whole black market thing of things that happen in the back of the challenge bus.
But I don't understand. Her and Abe seem like they were cut from the same cloth, but Thomas, I don't get that at all.
Thomas is like the opposite of Abram. Like, Abram's the guy with the face tattoo throwing his own feces at cops in jail, where Thomas is like the prep school in like a country club.
All right, but let's get to Thomas. Our last rounding out the season, our twins, Thomas and Steven.
Right.
How does Thomas get so freaking lucky to keep being brought back? I don't understand why we saw him on Battle of the Exes. I don't understand why we're seeing him here.
I mean, the only thing I think of for this season is just so perfect with his twin brother who was on the season of Real World. So, like, the people of Real World already kind of know who he is. So it makes sense that they would come out. But yeah, in terms of why he's like chosen, it's a weird move. They almost seem like the male version of the Christina Emily pair, where it's like, I think they're going to be too focused on hooking up and finding someone like a girl or whatever, not keeping their mind on the game, which is like not what they said, but I think is actually what's going to happen.
See, I don't know. Well, because Thomas, yet again, has a girlfriend. And I think you're right. I mean, it's like clearly he just keeps fitting the theme, because Haley and Thomas had like one of the most compelling exes storylines on the Real World Explosion. And then he started dating someone else from that cast, Jamie, who is a little bit more similar to Cara Maria than at least his
at least in appearance. Yeah. Like the tattoos and stuff.
But I don't, it's almost like, and I don't want to just say like the girls are coming to him, but I don't know that we've like seen Thomas and Steven make it a priority. It just seems like the girls are flocking to them.
Mm. Yeah, we'll have to see how that relationship actually played out.
Well, it's just hilarious that it's like they're Division I tennis champs, and I'm like, is there a sport that matters less to the challenge than tennis? Doubles, maybe, tennis,
maybe golf. Maybe.
yeah. I mean, at least the clubs are heavy.
At least golf, you have to like keep like a clear mind and focus and stuff. So,
well, I don't know that you don't have to focus in tennis, but you like if you're not in the cart and you have to walk, there's some mobility there. I mean, I just like. Couldn't be less impressed by their athletic ability. Couldn't be less interested in the romantic conquest. And I'm pissed that he's getting in the way of Cara and Abe. Like, I don't like that they're there, and I don't want to have to ever see them again. Although the fact that he is willing to hook up and cheat on his girlfriend potentially, allegedly, and has to potentially, allegedly take on Abe might bode well for a return for him.
All potentially and allegedly, in case you were not aware.
But that's it. That's the cast. 14.
Yeah. And then like I just mentioned, Abram and his brother Michael are coming on this season, actually coming on to replace someone. But we're not sure who.
Which must mean it's like an episode one thing, because I feel like if it was halfway through, they're not replacing.
Yeah, the challenge has been a little weird in terms of who gets replaced, who doesn't get replaced. But in terms of like an entire team being replaced, that's kind of a new thing. So yeah, I would have to imagine it's an episode one thing.
I'm trying to look at who are the rookies and who are the vets right now. So five. So we have Christina, Corey, Dario.
So really, who are the vets? It's really just...
Well, no, there's more than I thought. It's easier to count the rookies. Tony, and then do you count Jenna and Thomas? So there are only four pure rookies. I'm talking about just like the bloodline challenge people. Right. So there are four pure rookies. And then I would say Thomas is the next best thing to a rookie.
I mean, in terms of like actual financial terms, Jenna and Thomas are still rookies.
Yeah, correct. But I'm just saying, like, Jenna has more, I think, social capital by dating Zach and having
She's been like more intricate in the challenge universe since her time in the Real World than Thomas has.
And then just by virtue of the rest of the cast, I mean, Anissa and Kellyanne, just by being some of the people who haven't been back in a while, and Anissa's been back, but just in terms of like
Kellyanne's
a lot of her
connections
are gone. Kellyanne, a lot of her connections are likely gone here. So they're not rookies, but it's not surprising that they're the people hooking up with rookies, because I bet they're spending most of their time because they can relate maybe more to the newbies.
Right. And there's definitely no like JKL dynasty. There's no big alliance faction that at least on the outset looks like it's going to come to fruition. So
are we ready to retire that JKL? First of all,
I mean, it's definitely
the fact that you're even using that term. But second of all, I mean, we're never going to see Kenny or Evan back on the show. So that's not even in conversation.
To say that there's no like strong faction, like
we can say that every year. Well, yeah. So that's what I'm seeing. So let's like trace the lines here. Like Camilla and Johnny are close. Maybe Cara can play that side. You know, who's Johnny's number two here? Leroy?
Leroy. Yeah. Leroy and Camilla, those three will be our faction.
Because Nani and Camilla have that close bond. I mean, not split.
So that could be a power foursome that we could see. And then Kahata's like on the outskirts of that.
I don't know. I think
Cara would be one of the ones to try to rally up the rookies. She's usually good for that.
I think Cara might lay low in the veterans camp until she has to strike like a Sarah. But I don't know. I think they're poised here. They're primed for a rookie takeover, because that is a loose foursome. And usually they have like Jordan, Johnny, Banana, Zach. You know, like this is a loose group here.
Each of them could be picked off without even them being picked off with the way the format goes.
And we might see, I mean, it's nice to see some ladies in the conversation here in terms of the power grouping, because that's, you know, usually Sarah has been like the token lady.
Yeah, no, definitely. The female crop, I think, is pretty strong. It's at least it's not like so. It's not like there's overpowering male crop that seems like it's going to dominate. So this it's a pretty balanced season all around.
I think that's more it. It's not that there's like a really strong crop of women. It's that there isn't the dominant male force. Like if I'm Bananas, I see this cast list and I pee myself. I'm worried. He doesn't have his meat shields. He doesn't have his bros. He doesn't really have his usual game plan here.
Mm-hmm. He'll have to earn his trips to the final. Absolutely. There's no free passes. Earn his stripes.
Athletically, I think this is another small pond.
I think the problem is a lot of the people, the new people that they're bringing on are small pond people. Like, who was the last, like, real stud competitor that has really broken on? Like,
Jordan?
We had Jordan, but now he's retired. So it's like...
so stupid.
Yeah. Well, he's off doing, like, television or something like that, so...
But yeah, I mean, Rihanna admittedly says that she has no upper body strength. Larissa doesn't look like she has any, you know, competitiveness. You know, it's like Jill. Mm-hmm. Jill looks like she could come back. Like if Jill gets any airtime, I mean, Jill looks like she could hold her own.
Absolutely.
Christina and Emily have said themselves they haven't been working out. Corey looks like somebody. Dario, Corey, I mean, Rafi, maybe Mitch less so. Anthony, like, you know, there's some competition here, but just like, I mean, Jenna was even saying Brianna has a disadvantage just because Jenna has seen more challenges. I mean, when you're stepping in as a rookie, you can watch it on TV, but it's nothing like being there,
of course.
I imagine.
And really, the Abram's like a big X factor because he is like, he's a lunatic out there. Like, he's not someone you want to mess with, and who really knows where his loyalty is with. I would think maybe he might lean more toward the old school, so I don't know where him and Bananas lie. I don't think they're that close, but I mean, who knows where he's gonna fit.
I mean, yeah, I totally agree. I've not been thinking about Abe at all. I mean, Abe's a monster.
Like, you do not want to see Abram. Like, as much as you don't want to see Leroy in elimination, Abram kind of is Leroy, but with like more of a lunatic side.
Yeah, but Abram's older now. Like, when's the last time we saw Abram? I'm looking it up.
It's gotta be at least a few years. Like, I don't, I can't even remember. I don't think he was on Arrivals. He must have been Arrivals, I would guess. Was X's with Kara?
So we don't know, you know, did he ever do an X's with Kara? Am I blocking that out?
I honestly, I don't remember the last time Abram's been on.
Regardless, I don't know if he's got, you know, we don't know. We don't know what he's like anymore. I mean, he's wifed up. He's living with Kara in Montana. Maybe he's put on some relationship weight. No, but he's just psychologically.
Tattoo, so I don't think he's like that calm.
Psychologically, I mean, it's out of control. So we'll see.
He was on Battle of the X's.
I can't imagine him working with Johnny.
I can't imagine him working with anyone. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that, from what I remember, really like works with people.
And who knows? Because Kara lives with Abram. Who knows who they've entertained? Maybe Johnny's come over for a Sunday dinner. Who knows? But I mean, if it seems like he arrives on the scene and Kara's like, "Oops, I had sex with Thomas," and who knows if Abram and Kara are even going to be working together?
Right. It's a big X factor. Who Abram replaces? We're not like 100% sure what happens with that, so we'll have to see.
All right, are you ready to get drafty with it?
Let's get drafty. So I've been doing a fantasy league for the past few seasons with some of my friends, and now we're bringing it here. So let me quickly run past the scoring system that we've been implementing to our system. We've tweaked it here and there. We've added something like season specific stuff. So this is what we have. So first place gets 75 points. Second place is 50 points. Third place is 25. You win a challenge, you get 10. You win an elimination, you get 15. If you DQ in a challenge, you lose 10. If you get you killed it from my man TJ, you get 20. Kissing is 5 points. Coitus is 20. Same sex kissing is 10. Same sex coitus is 40. Getting kicked out of the house for violence, you get 100 points. Got to support the violence. If you quit for any other reason besides violence, you lose 25 points. Producer security discussing your behavior with you, you get 20 points. TJ being disgusted with you, you lose 20 points. If you threaten to throw a challenge, you lose 5. If you actually throw a challenge, you lose 10. fighting is 5, physical fighting is 10, unintentional nudity 5, intentional nudity 10, female crying 5, male crying 10. If you survive the episode, you get 5 points. Vomiting from alcohol is 10. And these are very specific things. Attempting cannibalism, you get 100 points. If you get pregnant, you get 100 points. Claiming to be the best shape of your life, you get 10. And the last one is a threesome, you get 50 points.
Okay, I have a couple problems with this right off the bat. And
here we go.
I don't have this in front of me. First of all, do you get points for third place if you get DQ'd from the final? Like, did Jay and Jenna get points?
Okay,
good. Now, kissing is only 5 points, and there's no discrepancy. There's no, like, there's nothing between a spin the bottle peck and a full blown makeout.
Nope.
That, I challenge that. Challenge.
That's how we score it. Kissing is kissing.
That's how you and your friends. I'm not your friend. This is a podcast. I'm challenging that. You can make the majority of the rules, but I get a couple of tweaks to the system. So you don't get to just show up with your system and I just accept it. I mean, I don't know how you thought this was going to work, but it's like you've never met me before.
How do you want to distinguish the kissing?
How much is sex? Same. How much is male-female sex? 20? I think a makeout should be 10, and you shouldn't even get credit for a kiss.
No credit. Wow, that's harsh.
I don't think you get credit for we played spin the bottle and we kissed. If there's no makeout,
when did spin the bottle happen on the challenge?
It's happened
way back in the day.
Anything can happen.
Okay, so all right, we'll
you don't
it.
Get any credit for a kiss. You get 10 points for a full blown makeout.
Okay.
All right. Do you have anything for a hookup in the bathroom?
I just have hookup. I don't have location specific.
Hookup is. All right, makeout is 10, coitus is 20. I want a shot of people leaving the bathroom after acts.
That's getting the confirmed coitus, is them leaving the bathroom.
That's not confirmed coitus.
It's them looking down in shame and then giving the little smirks.
No. You don't get credit for coitus. I think you get another 10 points for a shameful bathroom exit.
I got to start writing this stuff down.
I'm going to rule that as non-coitus. You can't confirm unless someone comes to the bathroom and says, I had sex with this person.
So
you can't
leaving,
assume coitus.
Is it just leaving the bathroom or leaving another area of the house?
No, it's leaving the bathroom. It's if you get a shot of you guys leaving the bathroom or you get, you know, what's it called? Subtitles of like loud noises in the bathroom or the
just
woods.
Just the bathroom.
Or the woods.
All right.
If you get leaving the bathroom or you get subtitle moans. 10 points.
All right, leaving bathroom / subtitle moan.
Now I want no points for kissing and 10 points for a makeout.
Okay.
Maybe 7 points for a makeout? What do you think?
Let's round up.
Ten points for a makeout. The points don't matter. Okay, I have a huge problem with you penalizing a challenge throw. I can't even believe that you do that. Because a challenge throw could be an amazing... Right. Support the strategy overall.
No,
see the big picture. No.
Think about what TJ. Think about what TJ would like. Would TJ want you to throw the challenge? No. He would want you to be involved in the challenge.
I don't like this hero worship of TJ. I like TJ, but you take it too far for me with this challenge throwing thing. I think throwing the challenge when... And I think we defer to Rob on this, who says that if you're throwing the challenge correctly... Sometimes that's a good move. And I think here, if you're on two big teams, that's a very interesting time to throw the challenge. Or if what we were talking about with Leroy, if you can somehow make it so you go in the elimination instead of your bloodline by throwing the challenge, huge move. I don't think that I'm not even saying you should get points for it, but I don't think it should be an automatic reduction if you're doing good gameplay.
Okay. It's scratched.
Scratch it. All right.
What else?
And then I don't buy this. Extra points for male crying versus female crying. I think crying is crying.
It's more rare.
Oh my God, turn on your television. It's not more rare. If we were doing this on Aria the One, Mike would be cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, but this isn't Aria the One. This is Challenge.
I don't think it's more rare to see the... I think crying is crying, and if you want to take more girls, maybe the You Killed It comes more... Like, there's other advantages for male, female, and I think crying is crying, and you're sexist.
Are we equaling them at 5 or 10?
2-5. I'm not impressed by your crying.
Okay.
Meanwhile, this is 100% the first time I've fought with Brian over whether coitus or not has happened for his friend's draft. But this is the first time I've actually really considered the points that you're giving. And I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt because I only was able to scratch down quickly. I don't have it in front of me. So
it's a pretty good system. It's
I could have
well.
Many more problems. Well, sure what is do. Working well? You won? It worked very well?
I did not win last year. No, I did not.
Well, then it's worked great. All right. Okay, the challenge throw, I had the problem. Was there anything else around throwing a challenge? Oh, talking about throwing the challenge? Scratch that too.
Threatening to throw. Yeah, and no, I got
well, rid of it. All right. Threatening to throw as in, like, I'll throw the challenge and I'll blow this whole thing up.
This came about, I believe, about when that. I believe this came about when it was like Wes threatening to throw every single challenge. And then we thought, all right, we need to add this.
Well, so that's different. So the threat to just like screw the game to use. But I even think that's not a bad Hail Mary. I mean, like, look.
Or maybe it was like when I think it was a Camilla or something like a few years ago said, oh, I'm just going to throw it and lose. We thought about throwing it in. Yeah, this has been tweaked and stuff throughout the years.
Let's just let's scrap throwing the challenge and watch. I don't think any of these people are going to be throwing unless it's for good strategy. And I'll come on at the finale and apologize if I'm wrong.
What else?
I think that's all I was able to scroll down. So in the interest of time, I'll accept the rest of the terms as is.
I will post this in the write up so you guys can check out the full scoring system
and
use it for your league.
Look forward to spirited debates about whether or not things happened.
So you ready to draft?
I believe I should get first pick in the draft because you made the scoring system. And I will not play. I will throw the challenge. I'll throw the podcast if I don't get first pick in the draft.
All right, Allie, you killed it.
All right. So starting off, and we're snake draft. You get two picks and I get one, two picks.
So you start off with one, then I get two. Then basically correct. From that okay. on, everyone gets two.
I know enough about drafting from listening to Rob's drafts. It's not because of my own drafting experience. Okay.
You can do an auction draft if you really want to get wild, but no, we'll stick with snakes.
No, I'm not spending any money, real or fake, on these people. So with my first pick in the inaugural Reality TV Wrap Ups podcast draft, give me Cara Maria. I'm picking her.
Excellent selection.
I don't need your approval. I know it's an excellent selection. Cross her off the top of your list. No, I'm picking her. Because challenge A, I think she's going to win. B, I think she's a challenge beast. C, high potential for bathroom coitus, high potential for coitus in general, high potential for drama. Cannot wait. Give me not even a second thought.
In full disclosure, as I mentioned to Ali Priere, I am currently doing the draft with my friends, and Cara Maria was the first pick in that draft too. So
he burns you twice. Yeah, doesn't sound like you got her then either.
I didn't get her there either. I was very upset. But the person that I did get with my first selection and who I am sticking with my first selection here, I am going with, this is purely based on who I think could win, and I'm going with Vince, Banana's cousin.
Wow. Okay, he was higher on my list than Banana's. Considering I even forgot Banana's was eligible to be drafted when I made my list.
The thing with Banana's is he is great, but in terms of accumulating points, he's not really hooking up with people. He gets into occasional fight, but he's not old school Banana's throwing shit around, so he's a little more calmer. So you get the fresh blood of Vince to tear shit up.
All right, I have two picks. Oh, no, you get two picks. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So with,
good pick. I think that's a good pick. He was number 7 overall for me.
I appreciate that. With my second pick, and this was also the second pick in my draft, and I'm sticking with the Bloodline faction, and I'm going with the person that I think will be the star of this season and for many seasons to come, and that is going to be 92.0, and I'm going with Nicole.
All right, so you're taking, that takes my fifth pick overall. I think that's an excellent pick. I'm not that sad. I'm okay. I'm going to double down and just give me Jamie right now.
Going all in. Okay.
Double down. And then I'm torn here. I'm torn. I have two people. Maybe I should have picked both of them instead of Jamie.
Oh, and one other thing. We should have clarified this before. The way this draft will work, because Abram and his cousin or his brother are coming to replace someone, the way we'll do it is whoever you draft, you also get the people. You get Abram. And you get the Bloodline or Abram who you're replacing. So if, let's say it's Bananas and Vince that get kicked out. If you draft Bananas, you'd also get Abram when he comes in.
All right. Scratch Jamie. And it's not too late because I haven't taken my hand off the chess piece, you know? So Scratch Jamie. I wasn't listening to what you said because I was too focused on this. Give me my boy Leroy. Give me Leroy here in my number 2 pick. Okay. And then give me Tony.
Going Tony.
Give me Tony. Give me Leroy. Those were number 3 and 4 off my board.
Wait. Wait.
Give me Tony. Me Leroy. I put Jamie. Jamie was my number two pick, and I'm going. I don't know that I want to double down now. I'm nervous. I just, maybe that will be my game losing, you know, move here. But give me Tony and Leroy. I feel good about that.
Strong pick.
Jamie
strong
now pick. Still up for grabs. I'm nervous about that.
Okay. With my pick, I will be taking the formidable force of Kellyanne.
Interesting pick. Number 16 overall on my board here.
I think she's has always the potential to blow up at any moment. I think she's a strong competitor. She's going to win. She's going to be tossed into some eliminations. I think her or her partner can win, or Hoshi can win. And I think she's got that going for her. Now
I'm just
next
counting
pick.
On Cara Maria to take me as far as possible. I don't feel that good about my other picks.
With my next pick, I am going to take your pick that you decided to cross out, because I do agree that I think Cara Maria and Jamie are very, 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 very high likely to win. So I'm going to take Jamie.
All right, I'm just trying to scroll this down. All right, picks 4 and 5. I'm going off the board here. I'm just going crazy now. All right. Because I don't want to talk it out. See? All right. Let's see. Who's still here? Do I want to yield pretender? Do I want to... okay. Let's see. You know what? No. All right. Give me... This is going to shock a lot of people. Give me Brianna here in my number 4th pick.
That is a super early move.
Give me Brianna here. She was number 6 on my board overall.
She was way down on my board.
I have high potential for them to just kind of float through. And then...
You do get points for just surviving episodes, so you got that going.
And then give me Camilla.
It's a strong pick.
Number 9 overall on my board, although I'm not going by the board, but...
Camilla has a 100-point episode, usually. She's a big scorer, and like she comes through strong.
Coming in hot. I'm gonna hope for that.
All right. Well, I might as well double down on my boy with my first pick. So I'm gonna go for all out. I'm gonna take my potential winner. I'm gonna go with Bananas.
Yeah, there's just no way I was gonna pick Bananas. I almost picked him instead of Brianna at number 4, and then I was like, nah, I can't. I just can't. I can't root for him like that.
This next picks is tough. It's kind of top heavy with the people I'm liking this season, so I don't know what that says. But with my next pick, this is tough. I didn't have a next one scattered out. I was hoping to get Camilla and Bananas. Didn't work. I'm going to double down again. Let's go Nani.
Thinking about Nani instead of Camilla.
I don't like having Nani and Nicole because I think they can go out early. I'm a little worried that they might be like 3-episode flame, but I like the value here.
All right, next pick. I'm trying to think. Give me Corey here with my next pick. Give me Corey. I'm going to hope that he can win some challenges. We know he's going to get a hookup at least once, so give me Corey.
You got him.
And then give me Shane. I'm going to double down with my reins. Give me Shane here.
Got it.
Although I am eliminating hookup potential because I believe Shane's the only openly gay cast member this season. But
I think that might be correct.
Who knows? We've seen everything. So give me Shane. I'm sticking with Shane.
Okay. Getting slim pickings here.
We're all getting the same pickings.
Make more noise.
That was Brian talking to his bloodline.
Yeah, my bloodline, my brother. I'm gonna go with Kahata.
Solid pick. I am worried
just
about
just a good competitor.
I'm worried about Kahata and Jill, which is why they weren't at the top of my draft, and why I did tell Brian I wanted to do this draft before we spoke because I felt like I have a hot take on Jill and Kahata. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you have another pick, right?
So yeah, I do. And I'm going to try to double up with a potential relationship because I think Kellyanne may be targeting this guy and I'm going to target him too. So I'm going to go with Daria.
Okay, interesting strategy. Interesting strategy. Oh, should I do the same? Should I do the same? Should I double down here with my alleged bloodline relationships of Thomas and Anissa? All right, give me. I can't let me say. Give me Anissa here in my eighth pick. That's fine. And let's see. We're still considering. We still have Rafi. We still have Emily and Christina unpicked. We still have Rihanna, who is Anissa's bloodline. We have Mitch, who's Corey's bloodline. Jill, who is Kahada's bloodline. Give me. Oh, fuck. Excuse me. Give me Anthony here.
Anthony.
I'm trying to now hedge against your picks.
That is Kellyanne's bloodline, in case you guys forgot. All right. Two more picks. Let's see what we got. It's getting close. I can't believe I'm making this pick. This is so bad. Give me Jenna. Oh my god, I almost threw up saying that.
I was hoping to get Jenna, actually.
She's got at least one fight in her. She's got that going for her. Zach shows up, she's got some coitus potential. I'll go with Jenna. And then the next pick. You took Thomas, right?
No, I didn't. I took Anissa Thomas. And Anthony.
God, they both, Stephen and Thomas both suck.
So still on the board for everyone playing at home, we have Jill, Stephen, Christina, Thomas, Larissa, Candace, Rihanna, Emily, Rafi, and Mitch.
You know what? In the off chance that we're just reading this whole Larissa thing wrong and she really is Camilla 1.0, give me Larissa. And maybe she's going to surprise us.
Okay. Give me Mitch. And give me Thomas.
Okay. All right. I'm going to double up again. These two picks, these two people will probably be gone by, I'll say, episode 3. So give me Steven and Christina. Might as well get them hooking up, hopefully, for that one episode.
I'm nervous about my picks. I don't love the way my team is shaping up here. We have Jill, Candace, Rihanna, Emily, and Rafi.
We got five left.
All of them, besides Jill, at the bottom five of my board.
So you have three left. I have two.
Give me Jill. I'm shocked she even made it this far without getting picked. Give me Jill. And then let's see. We have Candace, who's Leroy's bloodline. Rihanna, who is Anissa's bloodline.
Emily, right? Christina's bloodline.
Emily, and then Daria's bloodline, Rafi. All right. I have a couple ways I could go with this. A couple people I'm thinking about.
Well, there's only four left, so.
I'm thinking, do I want the points of the person who's got the best chance of making it to the final? Or do I want confirmed hookup points? Give me Candace, and I'll double up on my number two pick and go with Candace, Leroy's bloodline.
Solid. So, got four people left.
That Brian has all of the three people confirmed to be returning for the next season.
Don't think that's not a coincidence.
I don't think it's not a coincidence. I think you're a cheat. But I don't think that Jamie's going to yield many points besides the finale.
I think he might just be a winner.
Right.
So let's see. Oh, my God. I might as well just throw a dart against the wall. Give me Rafi. Freaking loser.
Rafi's cute.
I guess so. So we got there's no way I'm pairing Christina with Emily. So who's the other one left?
You have Rihanna, Anissa's bloodline, or Emily.
Yeah, give me Rihanna. There's no way I'm taking Christina and Emily.
Yeah, I was hoping you would give me Rihanna, but you're not going to. And ultimately, I'm not happy the way this draft shakes out.
So Emily, last
I think
pick.
Your team is stacked against my team by like infinity. Well,
how this people getting kicked out circumstance might play a big factor. Having Abram is a big factor. I want to have Abram, but I don't know if I'm going to.
We shall see.
You want to run through each of our teams?
Yeah, did you write it down?
Yeah, did you write down yours?
Go ahead.
All right, so I'll run through mine. You can run through yours. So I have Vince. I have Nicole. I have Kellyanne. I have Jamie. I have Bananas. Nani. Kahuta. Oh, wow. I have Nani, Kahuta, and Kellyanne. How about that? Dario, Jenna, Larissa, Steven, Christina, Rafi, and Rihanna.
So... I'm going to go from the bottom up because I have much more potential at the top. I'm nervous about what the hell I was thinking here. I have Emily, who is Christina's bloodline. I have Candace, Leroy's bloodline. I have Jill, Kahuta's bloodline. I have Thomas. I have Mitch, Corey's bloodline. I have Anthony, who's Kellyanne's bloodline. I have Anissa. I have Shane, Tony's bloodline. I have Corey. I have Camilla. I have Brianna, who's Jenna's bloodline. I have Tony. I have Leroy. And I have Cara Maria, who I pretty much have all my eggs in Cara Maria's basket. And we also got another 5-star review. Woo-hoo. Since we last spoke. You could still give us 5-star reviews at robhiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. And this comes from Johnny Damon 7, who says, I listened each week and really like these guys. So thank you, Johnny Damon 7. And thanks everyone who keeps listening and gives us 5-star reviews.
Fantastic. Do you have anything else to get us set before Wednesday?
That's all I got.
All right. So premiere is Wednesday night, but we will not be doing the wrap up right away because you're doing something very fun.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be answering your voicemails, hopefully your voicemails, with Rob on the main show. Rob is a podcast when he covers Survivor. So Rob will let everyone know how to get your voicemails in. So you can follow Rob's sister, Nino, on Twitter or on Facebook to check that out. And yeah, I don't know how I got past the gatekeepers there. That was probably a huge mistake, but I'm not telling them and I'm showing up anyway.
It'll be great. Be great to have the challenge represented there. You'll kill it. I know you will. And then we'll be back to wrap up the premiere, which is this Wednesday, 10 o'clock.
I feel like
Eastern.
Your confidence in me is a trick.
No mind games here. No mind games. I promise. So you can subscribe here for the challenge at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Or you can follow me on Twitter at BusDriversRoute, and they can follow you
at LashTweets.
And we will be here all season long to talk about the challenge bloodline. So until then, have a good one.